Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bears football, what, 9 days away? Is that what we got? This time next week, we'll be recapping the first game of the season as the Chiefs and Texans tangle week from last night. We'll be previewing Bears and Lions, a game that I feel very strongly about, both on the money line and with the 3 points. Chris and I will argue about that later, but now it's time to get the impressions and the ideas from someone who's more educated on this topic than both of us.
Huh?
Jeff Dickerson, our guy. It's Friday. I hear he's a little frustrated with the e-learning and maybe some of the home sports that are going on right now. So hopefully, JD, this is a nice bit of relief for you.
Yeah, I've turned him loose now.
Uh-oh.
School's over,
so I've locked
the door.
Does the rest of the neighborhood know that?
Well, he's roaming around right now with a glove, and he can't find me because I locked the door in my office. So everyone can fend for themselves around here. So I want to apologize in advance. Hey, quickly, I know that I like the rule today, okay?
Yeah. Aren't you tired of it too, JD?
I am, but can I just say one thing? It's not news, but it's a little morsel, okay? The position that we cannot speak of, the person who will be number one on the depth chart for week one will be speaking to the media on Wednesday. So at the very least, you will have an answer by Wednesday. I assume you'll have an answer over the weekend. Matt Nagy will talk on Sunday, so my guess is there'll be some sort of announcement then, but it's actually on the schedule that the position that we cannot disclose, whoever that person may be, will be speaking at noon on Wednesday.
Other than that position, JD, what catches your attention in terms of a position of need on the offensive side of the ball, and what concerns do you have over there?
Well, I have a lot of concerns. I mean, I think number one for me, moving off the position that we cannot discuss, I would look at the offensive line and have some serious questions. That was not a group that performed all that well last year. If you think that just changing a position coach is going to completely turn it around, I don't know. That's not what we have been seeing. So I would certainly start up front and voice some concerns there. And then you have your starting running back with a bad groin opening up on turf in a week and a half.
Do you expect him to play, JD?
I would not be surprised if he does not play in the first game.
Okay.
I would not be surprised. And of course, we haven't been able to watch anything for many, many days now, and there'll have to be a report that comes out next week in terms of his practice availability. But I would say that David Montgomery, that's a bad – I mean, it's not a season ender or anything, but – and, Tom, I don't have to tell you. I mean, look, if you hurt your groin, that's going to probably bother you for a good chunk of the year. And especially if you come back too soon. That's a problematic injury for a running back.
Well, he's a guy too, JD. He relies more on his wiggle than he does his overall breakaway speed. So it's an injury that may affect him more than somebody else, don't you think?
Yeah, lower body power is what he's all about.
Yeah.
You know, that was a real bummer because – I got to tell you, I don't really, you guys know me by this point. I don't fall in love with anything I see at training camp. I don't hate, except for like Glennon. I don't hate anything really at training camp. But I mean the play, not the player. But I thought Montgomery looked terrific. And just in terms of you could tell what he did with his body this offseason, I thought he was moving very well in the drills that I saw. And then for that to happen is certainly disappointing. Not something that they can't overcome, not something that he can't overcome, but boy, you just hate to start the year with such an important player on your offense being an injury question mark for week one.
JD, stay with that position for a second. If he's not able to go, how do you expect him to divide up the carries?
Well, I mean, are we operating under the assumption that they're going to run the ball this year? Is that what we're doing? Because Let me give you all a refresher course. I had to write about the run game this week. I'm not sure if it was posted yet. I don't know. I just submit, and then they post when they feel like they want to post. But if you look at the numbers from last year, and really you have to go back and look at it. I mean, bottom of the barrel in rushing yards per game, rushing yards per attempt. They only had 9 runs of 15 or more yards.
Yeah.
That's really poor. Only 2 games, I think, of 100-yard rushers. Those were both Montgomery. The numbers were really tough. So now I would believe strongly that Matt Nagy believes strongly that they got to figure out something on the ground. And that's why you have Bill Lazor helping out with the run game. You've got Juan Castillo, the new offensive line coach. He's going to have input in that as well, of course. So if they open up without Montgomery, I would assume that you would see quite a bit of Tariq Cohn. You'd see a lot of different packages out there. You'd see some handoffs to Cordero Patterson. You might see Ryan Nall. You might use the tight ends a lot more. I mean, you're going to see a lot. The tight ends, truly, and I hope these guys all stay healthy, because I think you're going to really notice in week one the difference between this group and what you saw for most of last year. Between Graham, Komet, and Demetrius Harris, guys, it's a much better group. I mean, a much better group. And the possibilities, I'm not an offensive coordinator here, but I mean, the possibilities for Matt Nagy, I know, are going to be very intriguing. You could play all 3 of those guys.
Well, it's a tight end-centric offense. People forget. I mean, it's a hybrid of what they're doing in Kansas City and Philadelphia. And I think, JD, there were very few teams last year that had fewer 2 tight end sets than the Bears did, just because they didn't have anyone they could trust.
They had no players. They didn't have any players. No, I mean, I don't want to. There were a few guys that emerged a little bit, like, you know, J.P. Holtz and Jesper Horsted, and I think those guys will probably stick in some capacity. You know, the practice squad guys is now up to 16 players, so you're going to see. You'll see some cuts come down next day or so of some players that you might recognize a little bit. But odds are they'll be able to keep them. And I certainly think a guy like a Horsted and, you know, maybe J.P. Holtz, because he can do a lot of different things, could make the 53. I think I had him on my 53 when we posted our projections on ESPN.com. That's going to help a lot. And really, that position, the tight ends, should help the position we can't speak of today.
Right.
Because, my goodness, I mean, to quote the great Andy Reid, why is the tight end position so important? Because it's the easiest throw for the you-know-who to make. I mean, come on, right?
You're right, no doubt. Hey, we heard some effusive praise from Matt Nagy the other day about Anthony Miller. Do you like what you've seen? I know it's been limited because he's coming back from the injury, but did you like what you saw, or was it kind of just what you normally see?
I'll give this. Look, people like to beat up Nagy because he had to backtrack the quarterback announcement thing.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Oh, gosh.
Whoa.
Sorry. I blew it. I'm so disappointed in myself.
Thanks for your time, JD. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks for your time.
It's hard. Listen, I mean, this is JD's Mr. Football. You can't tell him he can't talk about the most important position in all of professional sports.
But I went 8 minutes, and I was very careful, and I was delicate. And I was respecting the ground rules that were laid down.
Something told me Parker was doing something in the background and took your attention away.
No, I don't know. I'm looking out the window. I don't see him.
He's driving a truck down the street.
You know, he is. He found a neighbor's brother that he's playing catch with now. Okay so he is playing catch. I can see him from my office window. So the Coyotes did not take him yet, but that could be later tonight.
Oh, my guess is he would take the Coyotes. Coyotes aren't taking him. It's, you know, the other way around.
Does he ask to play catch with him, or does he just go up and start throwing the ball at a guy?
The guy's just got to defend himself,
right? He's just like throwing it back.
You know what he's doing that's driving me just nuts? I hate to go off what we're talking about here.
Fine.
I mean, the Anthony Miller stuff is so exciting.
Yeah.
He's got these built-in 5-minute breaks. I think the remote learning, the scheduling, the way the school has done this is great. I mean, they really have tried to make this structured and enjoyable for the kids. He's enjoying it, don't get me wrong. But he has all these 5-minute breaks, and he wants to go outside and throw every 5-minute break. And what he does is he gets me out there, and then he likes to extend it to, 7 minutes. They won't care if I'm 2 minutes late coming back. Then 8 minutes. Then 9 minutes. And we got into it just now.
And Jay, he's like, Dad, how about if I just don't go to school anymore?
Yeah, I mean, we're trending in that direction. Also, I've noticed a very unusually high number of toilet flushes upstairs during the school week, because I think what he's doing is he's just like meandering off into his bathroom and taking these phony bathroom breaks. I got to get on this with the teacher. Anyways.
Guy's got to have a smoke break every now and again, JD.
Yeah, but I mean, he's flushed the toilet like 20 times. Like, there's something going on. I don't want the toilet to come through the ceiling because the piping up there isn't good. But anyways, so we were just out there now, and the reason I was mad is because he fires this fastball over my head, and he turns around and goes, "You got to get it." I'm like, why do I got to get it? I got to go back into school. And he runs back in.
Wow.
So that was his exit strategy right there, is that I'm not going to get the ball that I threw 65 miles an hour over your head. I'm going to run back in the house and claim that I have to get
back. I got to give him credit. I mean, it's a pretty yeah. good move.
It's
it really
a false
is.
Sense of urgency he's showing right yeah. there. So anyways, to go roundabout, Matt Nagy has never been one to praise Anthony Miller when he doesn't deserve praise, right? Is that right. fair to say?
Yes. I mean, yeah, because Anthony Miller has at times kind of strayed from what they want
correct.
Him to do.
When he's not in the right place, Matt Nagy will tell you he's not in the right place.
Right.
When he's screwing up emotion, Matt Nagy will tell you that he's screwing up emotion. So I believed him. I believe that he liked what he saw, that he has been playing better.
Good.
Now, what does that mean for week one and beyond? Guys, I don't know. I mean, I think Anthony Miller has a world of talent. He just hasn't put it all together. But year three, typically speaking, is when a lot of wide receivers, the light bulb goes on. So I guess I'll put it as a cautiously optimistic.
Okay. Overall, what do you think of this defense, top to bottom, JD, as they start this season?
I think it's a very good defense. And that's why I wouldn't go too far under 8 wins. I heard Cap calling. I appreciated his shout out to the position we can't name later. I think that caller was actually Cap in disguise last segment that yelled out for the number.
Well,
10.
He would have had, he would have had 12 to 14 wins. Is
for
his
sure.
prediction
15-1? I think is what he said this morning with Hoodie. But I think the defense is solid. I think they're very solid. I think Robert Quinn. There are some questions about his usage. And what's been going on with him? You know, they brought him along very slowly. Then they turned him loose. Then they eased off. Remember, we're not getting any injury updates at all right now. They don't have to give us anything until next week when the report comes out. So they could be hiding a lot of things, and we have no way of seeing any of it.
On that front, what do you expect to see with regard to Akeem Hicks, who's missed quite a bit of practice?
I think there is a good chance that he is going to play. Akeem Hicks, man, is a gamer.
Yeah.
I mean, if he's out, he's really messed up. And his elbow was
he's
really
so
messed up.
Important to what he they're is. Doing, too.
He is. And I think that that's why they were playing it safe with this quad injury. Now, he was back in there yesterday. It was just a walkthrough yesterday. They'll have a walkthrough on Sunday. Then they're off on Monday, back at it on Tuesday. My guess is unless something horrific happens to him between now and the Lions game, that you're going to see him out there against the
Bears. How much do you expect Jalen Johnson to play? Because I heard yesterday.
Start. Are you kidding me? The expectation is for him to start.
Good. Because Buster Screen is not an outside corner. He's best suited for inside.
Very good slot corner. Yeah. Good nickelback. Experienced veteran. Highly thought of. But you drafted Johnson to start.
Yes.
So, he began training camp behind Artie Burns, who got hurt, and then you saw a little bit of Kevin Tolliver. But the time is now for him to emerge, and I know that's what the Bears want. That's what Matt Nagy wants. That's what Chuck Pagano wants. And that is, if he's not starting week one, I would look
I'm
at
with
that
you.
As a disappointment.
When I heard, JD, that they were bringing him along slow, my first response was, why? It's a position where you don't need to be brought along slow.
Well, I think part of that is, you know, he had the shoulder procedure done again after the combine. He didn't have the offseason program. All the rookies were brought along a little slowly. I think that was sort of why. And they felt like they had a little cushion there because they had some veterans. But once Burns got hurt, that was it. It's go time now. And you saw, really, that was sort of the line in of demarcation right there. It's like when that happened, they started ramping him up, and you saw him more and more. If you remember, guys, the first couple of practices – we didn't see much of Johnson at all.
Right.
I'm like, where's the rookie? Oh, he's not. Why is he on the sideline again? What's going on? But that moment that Burns went out, he picked it up, and absolutely, he should be in that starting lineup in week one.
Have you submitted, before we let you go, have you submitted your prediction record-wise for this team?
Oh, multiple times. I don't back off on that. I give you a prediction, right or wrong, and I stand by it.
Okay, what is it?
Wafflers.
No waffling
it was,
here
it was
on
seven
this
and
show.
7-9.
7-9, okay.
7-9.
7-9.
I think the defense is very good. I just have a lot of questions about the offense.
Fair
questions,
yeah.
A lot of questions about the offense. And now you've got kicker issues. What's going on there? These guys, you know.
Are you buying what I'm selling the black?
It's a smokescreen. I don't know. I mean, there's some major problems here. I don't like this.
Are you buying what I'm selling to Black? Black is trying to caution me about being too overly confident against the Lions. But I say that the Bears have the Lions' number. I don't care what the status of the person playing the position we're not allowed to talk about is. Ooh, really? You got a little, you taking the Lions? You picking the Lions to start the season?
Wait. Week one last year, what'd they do?
Oh, they suck in week one. I'm right. They suck in week one.
Week one, they put a great first half against Green Bay in Matt Nagy's first season.
Yeah.
Then they lost.
This ain't Green Bay, though. This is Detroit.
Then you had Foxy's crew. What a terrible run that was. Lost week one against Atlanta in 2017. Lost at Houston in 2016.
Okay, this is the Lions. These are the Lions.
When's the last time they won? They haven't won a week one game since 2013, with Trestman was the head coach when they beat the Bengals 24-21. So now I don't go into anything overconfident there, pal.
Okay, buddy, but that was a different coach. You're talking like two coaches ago. There's no correlation between what happened then and what's going to happen this year in Detroit. Come on.
I mean, well, okay. The current head coach, who I like, is 0-2 in week one.
Yes, he played Green Bay last year.
Green Bay.
Okay, well, like, that's not – this is the Lions, for Christ's sake.
Boy, if Matthew Stafford heard you say that,
I like Matthew Stafford. I'm probably the biggest Matthew Stafford fan in this conversation
right
now.
Stafford isn't a bad quarterback.
He's not bad, just bad, not bad. He's very good.
I think that defense, though, is – that's the question. Mm. And, you know, the questions that the Bears are having about their offense – the Lions are having about their defense, because their head coach is a defensive guy.
Right.
So when is that defense going to show up? And wouldn't you think if you were a Lions fan, wouldn't you look at the Bears week one and say, oh, boy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Here's how we get our defense right.
They're chesty.
The Bears.
All over Twitter, the Lions fans are chesty right now. All right, I got to let you go. I'm being looked at like I don't know what I'm doing in radio business that I've been in for 25
I thought there were
years.
No breaks in this hour, no?
When I'm in charge, usually no, but then I get yelled at later in the day. So, hey, good luck with Parker the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Hopefully you guys can have some quality time this Labor Day weekend.
If I stay in the office and lock the door, how long do you think I could stay in here without him coming to try to find me?
I would actually invite you over, but my wife's having her hip replaced on Tuesday, so we've got to be like in seclusion for the next several days.
Yeah, I was going to drop him off on your doorstep.
I would have taken him
close this week.
I would have taken him if it wasn't for the surgery on Tuesday. So
yeah, you say that now.
All right, JD, we'll talk to you.
Everyone,
next week.
Have a great and safe holiday weekend.
You got it. See you, buddy. Jeff Dickerson's the best. Parker is such a cool little kid. I know he gives JD a run for his money, but I love that little guy. Hey, when we come back, Cubs news and Dinger advice. How about that?
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Play the breaking news sounder, Chris, just to piss him off. Come on, do it. Do it.
No, it's not breaking news.
Oh, yeah, it is.
You're abusing the breaking news sounder, and people in the Twitch chat are like, what's this Cub news? What's this? Actually, no one has asked that. They're talking in the Twitch chat right now. They're talking about Jay Cutler and why. Since we're not talking about the position that we can't talk about, they're using this opportunity to talk about Jay Cutler.
So they're rolling through old quarterbacks?
And not for the reason you think of. And they're watching us on Twitch on ESPN 1000.
There was a rumor he was in town this week.
There was a rumor that he's in town this week. There's other rumors surrounding him, and he said he only has one woman in his life right now, and it's that lady cow he's got, because one of those cows is a lady cow.
Huh.
Actually,
he's got a nice setup in Nashville.
Aren't cows women and bulls are the male cows? Are there milk cows?
No, I believe you're correct.
I think
I'm not a farmer, but I believe that
I'm not
you are
a
correct.
I'm not a farmist either.
It would be weird to milk a male cow.
It'd be weird to milk a bull, yes.
Would not be, I guess it...
Twitch.tv/ESPN1000 Chicago.
Hold on, that just broke Waddle, by the way. He had to ponder that one.
Twitch.tv/ESPN1000 Chicago. It's all brought to you by Blue Moon Light Sky. Make it a once in a blue moon. Derby, the Cubs news, Waddle. The Cubs lineup is out and is missing their MVP.
Uh-oh.
That's right, I said it. MVP.
I saw somebody on Twitter suggesting that, too, that Ian Happ may be getting some recognition.
He's going to get MVP recognition.
Yeah, have you looked at the numbers?
We'll give you the numbers in a second, but Schwarber is leading off and playing in left. Bryant at third, Rizzo at first, Baez at short, Hayward in right. Contreras is your DH, Caratini is your catcher, Maben in center, Kipnis at second, and Cy Darvish is your pitcher.
I like Ian Happ. How is Ian Happ going to be the...
Look at his numbers. Chris has his numbers on. He's got that thing on him, if you will. But
okay, well, let me have him. I mean, like, what is it?
And Jesse suggested it earlier today, and he's going to join us at 5 o'clock. You can ask him and say, hey, here's your question. Do the Cubs have a Cy Young winner and an MVP winner on their roster?
Juan Soto has a .354 average.
Yeah. Sub-500 team, though.
He's 11 home runs, driven in 26. Vote. He's got an on-base percentage of .453 and a slugging percentage .758 for an OPS of 1.211.
What Juan Soto's doing is incredible.
However.
Go ahead, Abdal.
No. I was just saying however for you. However.
Yeah, I mean, Waddle, you're right. Juan Soto right now, but they're under .500. So don't you think that more votes would go towards somebody on a first place club?
Corey Seager?
And Corey Seager, his stats are nowhere near what Happ has done. Where do you see Corey Seager?
Corey Seager's hitting .323. Happ's hitting .311.
Thank you. Yeah.
Get average out of here.
Move along.
Same basic home runs.
Here.
Seager's got more RBIs. What else do I have? Seager on base percentage not as good, but there's a lot left to the season.
All right, let me give you this. Weighted runs created plus on Fangraphs has Ian Happ at a 180. Seager is the 22nd best player in baseball at 161. If you want to go with a Dodger, you would probably go with Mookie Betts. He's at 162.
How about that? Mookie Betts.
But, I mean, he is outplaying them at the moment.
I don't know that all of the
crusty. Paul Goldschmidt is at 176.
I don't know if all the crusty baseball MVP voters are going to.
No, Slick Rogers. He's got the new stats.
I think they use that as you know, they use their eye test.
You think
they
it's a lot of Sharma stuff. Doesn't understand stats?
Yeah, it's a
he
lot
is
of notes.
Stats.
He's the stat guy.
I'm not making any accusations about anybody. What I'm saying to you is
you can wrap your head around the fact that you need to get
the crust out of your eyes, and you need to start getting around the idea that Happ might be MVP.
You need to stop looking at averages and home runs and stop being an old-timey baseball man.
By the way, Happ's got a war of zero. Isn't that the most important?
There's a 2.0 on Fangraphs.
Yeah, don't look at don't look.
Which is above I'm on ESPN.
Which is above
Juan Soto. He's got a war of zero. That's what I see. He's got a war of zero.
He has a higher war than Juan Soto.
Don't make me
Fernando Tatis Jr.
Don't make me. You know. Well, there you go. I mean, Tatis Jr.
Yeah, his weighted runs created plus is 172.
So you're going to give Ian Happ the MVP ahead of Tatis Jr.?
No, I'm saying that if you want to say who's in the conversation, it's probably Happ. It's probably Tatis Jr. Let's see what the Nationals do to finish it out, because if the Nationals are close to a playoff spot, it's probably Juan Soto. His numbers are incredible, like you pointed out.
Thank you.
But Happ's in the conversation. I think that's what we're saying.
Right now?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Juan Soto has a sore shoulder. He's been scratched today.
Ian Happ's got a broken face. He's not going to play either. When we come back, I'll bring you Waddle's World. Ass hat.
What?
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Amazing.
What's going on in the world of sports?
Look at all the sports fans. There's aerobics in here. So many activities.
Two great
Let's
comedians.
Find out together.
Step class. It's making my head spin. How many activities we can do.
As we enter.
This is how we do it.
Waddle's World.
That's how we do it, Chris. Waddle's World brought to you by our great partners at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit wintrust.com/findusmemberFDIC.
If only I could go back to little Christopher Bleck going to Soldier Field to watch the Chicago Bears play. And
How old, Waddle, are we?
Bears, great. I was like seven.
Were Bears, you going to great. Games all the way back? Mm-hmm. So yeah. Do you actually went to games that I played in?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Were you cussing at me?
No. I was a little kid.
You know the picture of that little soccer fan?
Did I catch that touchdown pass against the Lions in the end zone where you guys are usually overlooking?
South?
I don't know.
You know the picture of that little soccer fan kid flicking people off? That was Chris.
Was that him?
Yeah. So what I was going to say is that, you know how in the intro there it says Bears great? If only I could go back then and tell little Christopher Bleck what you just asked Abdallah and I in the last break.
Man, you could say it on the air.
It would blow his mind.
Well, I asked you guys that because of the nuttiest story of the day that's
great.
Coming your way.
Well, it's a tease.
You got to wait. Yeah.
Okay, great.
But that's why I asked it. The
sure.
first question I thought was legit. The second
yeah,
one was
right,
a bit out of bounds.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't give myself a full 15-yarder, but maybe 5 yards, illegal contact. I'd give you an automatic first down, but I'd only take 5 yards.
Thanks for asking, though. Appreciate it.
So I'm here for, man. I'm here to educate. Hey, Messi's going to stay with Barcelona. How do you feel about that, soccer guys?
I mean,
all right, great. Back to you, Tom.
No, it's probably what was going to end up happening because he doesn't want to fight the legal battle. Like, the EPL season starts in like a week. So
they just play soccer like nonstop.
Well, they're having the shortened schedule. Yeah,
have you made any money on the MLS?
Yeah, I had lots of overs
coming
in. Yeah.
Thanks for giving me a heads up on that.
I showed you a full slate. I said, you want to get down on this? And you were like, no. I don't.
I didn't know. I didn't know what you were offering at that point. I thought we were just gambling.
So anyway,
did you realize that today? Speaking of gambling, I believe this is a record day. Is it not in Major League Baseball? Do you know how many games are being played?
20.
I believe that's the number because you have several
doubleheaders, 7-inning doubleheaders.
Isn't that unbelievable? Like if you're a gambler and you like to gamble on Major League Baseball. This is a titillating experience.
Got the Reds right now, don't we?
I think we do, courtesy of our good friend Doug Kazarian.
Who, if you listened yesterday, went 2-1 in the NBA bets.
Free money.
Yeah.
Free money.
Yeah.
That's all you're looking to do, right, is hit 67% because then you're cashing checks.
Absolutely.
I made some money on Fred VanVleet. That's how you pronounce his name, right? VanVleet. Over 3.5 threes made.
So to answer your question from earlier, he'll be on Manchester City next season, not this season.
So it's going to take a year.
Yeah, because he didn't want to have to fight the 700 million euro.
Yeah, there was a clause that required.
Yeah.
Yes, it says here, Messi said it would have been impossible to pay the 700 million euro clause required to terminate his contract and that he wouldn't take the team to court, leading his decision to play out the final year of his deal. He said, quote, I would never take the club I have played my entire life for to court. That is why I am staying in Barcelona until next year. I added the last two words, the last three words, until next year. I was going to say, you were bringing up the baseball news. Soto has been scratched with a sore left shoulder. So those of you who are gambling on the potential NL MVP, as we were arguing with each other. The Washington football team has released running back Adrian Peterson, who joined the team in 2018. Surprised? Not so much for me.
Well, they drafted a running back, right?
Yes.
Two years in a row with that now? Drafting a running back?
I think so. Like, is that a guy that you'd be interested in?
I mean, he was productive last year.
Well, I'm trying to pull up some stats on him from last year.
I mean,
he's not the same guy he was, but how could you be at his age after the number of carries he's had? Last year, Adrian Peterson had 211 carries for 898 yards. He averaged 4.3 yards per carry. So,
well, is he a better option than Patterson, or is he a better option than Tariq Cohen?
I would say yes, carrying the football, even at the age of 35, yeah.
So I think the answer is they should look into it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I thought that you know, looking to Leonard Fournette was a good suggestion. I don't know if it's that they feel that David Montgomery's coming back sooner rather than later, or maybe they're saying to themselves, there are a couple guys out there that we have our eyes on that may possibly be released here over the next few days. And what I tell you about the next 2 days.
Don't do anything stupid.
They're the most worrisome days of the year for NFL coaches. Clemson, Notre Dame picked to finish as the ACC's top teams. Is that even fair?
You don't say.
Well, but I'm saying Notre Dame is just kind of just joined the conference. Boston College is in that conference. And let me tell you something, sir. What, you bite your tongue for 1 second. Jeff Hafley has taken over that team as the head coach. I believe he's got some NFL experience and was a defensive coordinator, the co-defensive coordinator at Ohio State for a while. We're taking football seriously in Chestnut Hill again. So you better watch yourself in there.
I'm just saying, as compared to the competition in that conference to Clemson and Notre Dame, there is no real competition to those two teams. I would love for there to be more competition. I hope Boston College can rise again to the prowess it was when Tom Waddle was gracing the field.
Thank you.
I hope it does.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm saying this year, there's really no competition.
Is Notre Dame going to be that good?
They'll be the second best team in the conference.
They should be pretty good. And, you know, the thing I would point to with the ACC media preseason poll is that, yeah, Clemson, Notre Dame 1-2. Number 3, North Carolina, gives some props to Mac Brown and what he's building there. So, yeah, North Carolina not as good as Notre Dame or Clemson.
Didn't they get off to a quick start, Chris, and then kind of leveled off?
Yeah, they did, but they had a successful, in the recruiting
Let me tell you something. Like, as a student athlete going to Chapel Hill, I chose BC over Chapel Hill, and it was a really tough decision. Like, you get your college on there. It's a great school. It's a great climate. The colors are cool as hell.
Yeah.
The facilities are fantastic. It's not a huge stadium, but the facilities are nice. It's a good place.
The other thing I would point out is the reason the ACC is down is because Miami and Florida State are 6-7 in the poll. Like, that's the problem for the ACC is Manny Diaz needs to bring Miami up and compete with Notre Dame and Clemson. And Florida State has had a tough couple of years as well.
Yeah. Can you guys give me a little quick preview of what I'm looking at this weekend for college football? Are you guys doing a college football show this weekend?
Not this weekend. Chicago's College Tailgate will be back 11 o'clock next Saturday.
Bing! Take that.
You guys excited about that?
Yeah, Jonathan Hood will be joining us.
Yeah.
Chicago's College Tailgate is back. We're back in the fold.
Will you be tailgating from here, though, because you're not allowed to go anywhere?
Yeah, we'll be here.
And so this weekend, you can look forward to Marshall and Eastern Kentucky. How about Army and Middle Tennessee? Yeah. Can I interest you in a Texas State SMU?
Mm.
How about a Memphis, Arkansas State? Memphis just their best running back just opted out.
I got a BYU and Navy on
BYU
Monday night.
BYU and Navy Monday night.
Is that probably the game with the best two teams playing? When do we kick this thing off for real? With no offense meant to the teams that are playing.
Next Saturday.
Okay. Yeah, because you got Notre Dame Duke next weekend. We'll be leading you into that game. Boston College will start the week after, as you keep on telling me.
At Duke.
Yes,
They're going to Duke.
Who else do we got that day? You got Syracuse, North Carolina. How about that?
That was manufactured enthusiasm right there.
No,
that was totally manufactured.
No, that is a good game.
From you, it was manufactured enthusiasm.
No. That is a good game.
I don't think you understand how much college football we watch.
Yeah, that is a game.
That's going to work.
Yeah, that'll get the job done.
Did you win
last night?
You win your bet last night?
You want to talk about sweating a bet. Sweat the under in that second college football game with the two directional schools when it was 56 and it was at 50 points with like six minutes left. But, and then, of course, Notre Dame Duke. You've got Clemson Wake Forest.
All the Big 12 will play. Oklahoma, Texas.
Texas will beat up on UTEP, and we'll get to say Texas is back for a week.
Yeah, it'll be good.
Are we getting back? I mean, I keep hearing different things. Are a couple of the other conferences on the cusp of recommitting to playing ball?
So the Pac-12 has started this this daily testing, this rapid testing that they believe will speed up their return. They're still eyeing January, but their commissioner said today that they're looking to maybe start sooner, and they're going to try to get the Big Ten to join them in this testing venture for rapid everyday testing, and that way they could return to play sooner.
I'm still not
than
buying
January.
The January thing.
No.
Why are you suggesting you're going to play in January? Like, if you're the Big Ten, the other conferences will have already played. So you're going to play Big Ten football amongst yourself. There's going to be no possibility for any postseason activity. And then you're going to ask the same guys, student athletes, to play another 14-game schedule 6 months later. Bull poop. No. If that's the case, I suggest that you just cancel the season and we'll start this thing back up next year.
I think USC just wanted to get out of playing Alabama in that first game.
Okay. You guys can wrestle about that when we go to break. When we come back, I have something. I have the nuttiest story of the day, and we'll play a little game we call Florida or Ohio. Hey, this hour is brought to you by White Claw Hard Seltzer, crafted using seltzer water, 5% alcohol, and a hint of natural fruits. Available in 8 all-natural fruit flavors. It's low-carb, gluten-free, and only 100 calories. White Claw Hard Seltzer, made pure. Please drink responsibly.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
You know what time it is, fellas? You know what time it is? What time is it? What time is it?
Nutty time. Hoop.
Nuttiest story of the day is brought to you by our friends at Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. Chris, a night with Screwball.
It's bound to get a little nutty.
Right about that. Okay. I asked you a question off the air a few minutes ago.
Yes, you did.
I told you, as you looked at me in a quizzical fashion, I asked you because of the following story. Man drinks 7 pints of his own urine a day, claims he never gets ill. A German live streamer, I don't know if that's supposed to be funny or that's a technology term or...
It's a technology term.
But it's also kind of funny considering
like you are
the story.
A live streamer right now.
A German live streamer is revolting the internet with a troubling health regimen that involves ingesting 7 pints of his own urine per day. It is the body's own vaccination, Jan Schunerman says. He's 26. He claims that drinking his urine can ward off illnesses and mitigate depression. The sports coach and student then streams his ill-advised ritual on Instagram and YouTube in the hopes that others will follow suit. He also applies pee to his skin, his eyes, and even his ears via a syringe. You guys are silent in there. What is the first thing that comes to mind?
Well, when you asked me the question, I thought this was going
to
be a story about...
I said to you, okay, this was my question, just to give you a little inside baseball. I asked you, having seen this article, I said, if you had to, would you drink your own urine to survive? Because there have been there are stories like this.
I thought that's what this story would be about.
Somebody stranded on somewhere.
I thought that's where we were going with this.
No, this guy just does it because he thinks it's cool and it helps him.
I didn't know it was for pleasure.
I don't think it's for pleasure. I think he feels like from a health standpoint, he says it's, what did he just say? He says he claims that it wards off sickness.
Cool.
Helps him, gives him energy.
Sure.
Mitigates depression.
Right.
Like, if I'm drinking my own whiz, I mean, I'm a depressed as hell. Aren't you?
My answer to you was yes.
I'm with you. If I was, like, on an island or in a spot where, it's the only way I'm going to survive, don't you have to... I don't know. I mean, maybe a doctor needs to advise us. I mean...
But then you took it to a different place.
Well, I said to you, would you... I don't think I want to go there.
Oh, okay. All right. Fair enough.
Should I or should I not?
You want to play Florida
Listen, I'm cleaning this up because our fine partners at Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, although this is probably
I think they would appreciate this conversation.
What they knew what they were getting into, but you know what today is. It's not Monday, Tuesday,
Thursday. You don't come to me and say, hey,
today is Friday.
We're Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. A night with Screwball bound to get a little nutty. We want to sponsor the nuttiest story of the day and then go soft on me.
No,
you
I get that.
You know what you're getting.
But I'm trying to tell the people.
A stream fun?
No. I'm trying to tell people that it's Friday, and that means that at the end of the show, it's going to be the screwball sign-off, and that if you call me at the end of the show when
it's
I tell you to be...
It's called the screwball sign-off.
Yes, when it's caller... I tell you to be caller 20. Not now. Don't call me now. So help me God if you call me now. Call me when I tell you to call you at the end of the show when Mark Giangreco is in that fine studio next to you. And you will win not $50, because what are you going to do with that? Not $100, because what does that buy? Two beers these days? Not $150, but you are going to get $200 to DC Cobbs and McHenry.
Whoa.
Courtesy of Screwball Peanut Butter
Whiskey. Do you
know
how far $200 will go at the bar?
That's a lot of beers.
It's good. And Screwball Whiskey.
Yeah. You got to do one and one.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
You get a lot of Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. It buys a lot of those shots. I'm sure you could make a good mixed drink with Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey as well.
Yeah.
I'm sure you...
Do you know what I like? I like peanut butter and celery. Maybe you put celery in the Screwball Whiskey.
Well, I'm thinking like maybe a peanut butter and jelly something.
Whiskey?
Yeah, maybe. Well, I'm saying like find something that's maybe a little fruity and mix the peanut butter whiskey in there, and then you get, you know, peanut butter and jelly.
So my answer to your other question,
was no.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because my pee is like 90% weed.
I think it's time to play a game.
Get ready to play the game that's sweeping the nation. Public drunkenness. Exotic animals. Dumb criminals.
Can I live with one of you guys when I get fired?
Or maybe just some good old-fashioned debauchery. Everything's on the table. It's the Sunshine State versus the Buckeye State as we play Florida or Ohio. And as always, listeners, feel free to play along at home.
Someone in the Twitch chat said they've made Screwball Old Fashions. I wonder if I'm sure it's good, or else they wouldn't have told us that.
That's right.
But yeah, absolutely.
Sounds great.
A woman charged over illicit jewel scheme, and not like a diamond. I'm talking about the electronic cigarettes.
Jewels, yeah.
Jewel. A felony charge over an illicit jewel scheme.
You've seen those before.
Unfortunately, in my house every now and again. Yeah. Actually found one on top of a cabinet in a bathroom.
Wow.
About a month ago.
So what'd you do with it?
I threw it out.
Smoked it.
Listen, everyone in my house other than one is legal, so...
A woman was arrested after she pulled her pants down and urinated in front of a cop car and made matters worse on her way to jail when she allegedly offered to help the officer out in exchange for her Juul e-cigarette.
Wait a second. So, like, she was going to help him change a flat tire?
She was going to...
If she could get the...
I mean, or any other job he had in mind. I don't know. Whatever random tasks he needed completed.
Take the garbage out.
Yeah. Wash the dishes.
Rush.
Maybe clean up around the house. Any other chore. I don't know.
Swiffer.
Yeah.
Mow the lawn.
Yeah. Vacuum.
Hey, I'll let you off, but you got to mow my lawn on Tuesday.
Is that what they're calling it these days?
While her 22-year-old friend was being busted for drunk driving, the woman who appeared heavily intoxicated was not facing arrest. However, as she was waiting, she decided she needed to use the bathroom, so she... pulled her pants down and went as she was arrested.
I want to go home.
Oh, man.
And then offered...
can we talk quarterbacks now?
Services.
You can't even say the word.
I ask you...
Totally Tampa.
Did this happen in Florida or Ohio?
You know what? My first inclination was somewhere in Ohio, but I'm going to go totally Tampa.
I'm going to go... Give me Cincinnati, Ohio.
Oh, bite your tongue.
Madison Ann Bryant was arrested... in Lake County, Florida.
Yes! Take that! We don't do that in Ohio.